This edition of Culture with Robert Bound was first broadcast on the 23rd of December 2013 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to the 115th edition of Culture with me, Robert Bound. It's Christmas week, so we wanted to take a look at what the festive period is really all about, buying stuff. No, we're not cynics, we just couldn't bear a whole hour of Christmas hits and interviews with pantomime dames, so we've taken a journey around the world to explore the business side of December the 25th. We'll be asking Richard Brim and Daniel Fisher, creative directors at London advertising agency Adam & Eve, DDB, how you create the perfect Christmas ad campaign.
This year, more than most, seems to be the year that most big brands have gone Christmas crazy.
We'll also analyse the campaigns being seen, heard and read in Australia, America and Spain, where the Christmas lottery is celebrating its 250th anniversary.
It's left many people scratching their heads, wondering whether the cheesy, sometimes frightening, often eyebrow-raising TV spot was deliberately choreographed to court controversy.
And we'll be stopping off at some of our favourite friendly neighbourhood record stores to hear what's decorating the seasonal displays in San Francisco, Tokyo and Berlin.
In Japan, winter tends to be cold and windy, but on a clear day, the sky is beautiful and the air feels fresh. I had these clear winter days in my mind when I chose these three albums here.
So get out the port and a cracker or two and join us for this Christmas-themed culture show with me, Robert Bounds, here on Monocle 24. All right, now it's clearly a great time to sell records at Christmas too. One of the best this year is from that British star of the 80s, Kim Wilde. She's back with the rather wonderfully wistful title, The Wild Winter Songbook. And from that is this, Hey Mr. Snowman.
So I said, hey Mr. Snowman, thanks for your time. I'm feeling so much better now, what's yours is not mine. Now life is looking rosy and I'm feeling just fine. I said, hey Mr. Snowman.
That was Kim Wilde singing Hey Mr. Snowman, and that's from her Christmas record, The Wild Winter Songbook. We'll be having a little more from her later on in the show. So the big theme we're looking at this year is advertising. What campaigns have been catching people's attention in different corners of the globe? And how do you create an iconic Christmas ad? Well, to tell us how they plan for the festive season, I was delighted to welcome back Rick Brim and Dan Fisher, creative directors at London agency Adam & Eve DDB, to the studio to tell me about their campaign for the UK department store Harvey Nichols.
Well wrapped as well.
Yeah.
Nice decoration. Elastic bands.
Elastic bands from Harvey Nichols, Dad.
Sorry, I spent it on myself. Gift collection.
Yeah, that's what the range is called.
Elastic band gift set.
Yeah.
Right. We kind of identified straight away that Harvey Nichols is ultimately about indulgence. Mm-hmm. And we started toying with what that meant. And we started started playing with the idea of what would it be like if Mum had spent all her money on herself on Christmas Day and there was nothing left to give her little son. So we started with that kind of premise and it kind of grew from there into a full-on, fully-fledged campaign, and we released a range of products. And
yeah, so let's talk about the products, because there's two things. There's the TV campaign, which is frankly hilarious. Yeah. The performances are great. It's a thing that's just about subtle enough, right, as well, because there's that thing of getting the message across. There's a boyfriend in bed unwrapping some toothpicks, for example, for his Christmas present. She's like, I'm sorry, you know, these are great. They're from Harvey Nichols. Well, she's got some really gorgeous, expensive Coach handbag or something next to her on the bed, right? This is the premise of the TV campaign. It'd be nice to know about the performances, how you pick a director for that, how you cast those things as well.
When we had the idea, that the director we had in mind, we spoke to him quite early on in the process, and we told him that we were launching this range of products, because for us the products were the start point, and that for us is the most interesting thing, that they agreed to launch this range of products. And
we've got to, in parentheses, let's just quickly in brackets say what those products are. What might some lucky people be getting under their under the tree this Christmas? Because they're very luxurious things.
There's authentic Lincolnshire gravel.
The consumer, yeah, that's
genuine rubber doorstop.
There are other toothpicks that we talked about.
Toothpicks that are 100% real wood.
Yeah. You're spoiling me.
Wire sponge.
Wire sponge.
Paper clips.
Waterproof sink plug.
Elastic band gift set.
Paper clips.
Yeah.
Harvey Nichols.
Yeah. Yeah, they're from Harvey Nichols. So, you know.
Harvey Nichols.
I don't think anyone's ever got you anything from Harvey Nichols.
Wow.
You cast people who are very believable in those roles and kind of let them sort of go, let them sort of react as they might react. So the cameras rolled and kind of got these reactions, or James very much teased the reactions out of them. And that's how you got some of those really funny comic moments.
It's an advert, but it's a very funny little short film about selfishness at Christmas, actually. It's a very cool. And there is that awkward moment, right, which I guess was on your guys' minds as well. Maybe it wasn't. Is that slightly awkward transaction, giving a gift and receiving a gift? It's always a bit funny, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? There is a little bit of awkwardness in that. And I guess that was caught in real reactions.
And what we thought would work on the day. So, for example, there's a scene at the end where a little boy is given a waterproof sink plug. I remember we walked away from the shoot thinking, well, he didn't cry. But with hindsight and looking back at the edit now, it would have been too big and it would have felt too hammy.
Our intention...
And maybe a little bit too cruel, because it's still a witty ad, but it's still a Christmas ad, maybe.
I think we went in, as Rick said, our intention was to get that kind of, that moment, that pinnacle of sort of where the boy is crying because he wanted an Xbox or whatever he wanted, and he's got a sink plug, and we didn't get it. But when it actually came to the first edit, we were like, actually, we don't need that. It's actually not what we needed for that film.
And that is the most terrifying thing of our career, is when you're given this money by a client that trusts you implicitly, and you go off and make something, and nobody really knows what... I mean, however much they say they do know what they're going to get, they don't. And the first edit, viewing a first edit, is the night before, I'm always like, it's going to be rubbish. And this one, we walked in, the first time we saw it, there was sort of like this little sort of smile from Dan.
I think it was outright laughter.
There was the whole room just relaxed.
And it's obviously, we should reference the rest of the marketplace at Christmas. It's obviously a very competitive place, the TV spots. I mean, we were talking before we switched the mics on about the fact that, you know, there are premieres of adverts, of Christmas adverts for the big supermarkets, the big fashion brands and stuff, or the big supermarkets and things. These are pieces of event TV, the commercials. When do you know what your counterparts at other agencies, for example, are doing?
I think they're the big ad watch now in this country. I think Christmas advertising has kind of elevated itself to a status of like Super Bowl advertising. I think people, not just in the industry, but people outside of the industry sort of actively anticipate Christmas advertising. So, I think the whole run-up to Christmas is, within the industry, certainly, there's a debate at knowing of who will win Christmas.
And
I think everyone's watching out to see what everybody else is doing.
There's so many sort of different points of view of what makes a good Christmas ad and where good Christmas ads come from. So just on the Huffington Post, Harvey Nichols is winning Christmas by 39% of the overall votes. That's with M&S and John Lewis, and 29% of people who don't care. And then in another article, we're being called the end of humanity. Is this the end of humanity as we know it? So in one publication,
I think we can safely draw from that there is no such thing as bad publicity, perhaps.
Even for you guys as well.
Well,
there's nothing better than people hating what you do because at least people have got an opinion then. At least people are driven. I mean, some of the comments on YouTube to what we've done is... Why would I buy gravel for my mum for Christmas?
At that point, you just
quite telling now that every agency's got at least one client that's doing a big Christmas ad. And that didn't used to be the case a few years ago. So you've got everything from fast food restaurants like McDonald's to John Lewis to Harvey Nichols to Marks and Spencer's to Google. Everyone's doing a Christmas ad. Everybody wants a Christmas ad.
And it's bizarre. You'd have thought that McDonald's aren't going to sell any more hamburgers at Christmas, whereas you know that Sainsbury's are going to sell more turkeys, but they still want a Christmas ad. Right?
It seems to be, you can't, if you're a big advertiser, you can't sort of ignore the Christmas opportunity.
And this year, more than most, seems to be the year that most big brands have gone Christmas crazy. So you've got things like Sainsbury's, who got Kevin MacDonald to direct their Christmas in a Day last year. So they gave people cameras last year to film their Christmas last year for this year's Christmas ad, and it's a 40-minute film. In one degree. Then you've got Kentucky Fried Chicken that has done this big sing-song 2-minute extravaganza, and then you've—I mean, they're so varied. But this year, more than any year that I've known, it seems everybody's woken up to Christmas. Yeah. Everybody has an epic Christmas ad.
For us, it's very exciting.
That was Rick Brim and Daniel Fisher, creative directors at London agency Adam and Eve DDB. For those just joining us, you're listening to a Christmas Culture special here with me, Robert Bounds. Right before we delve into the Christmas ad campaigns happening right now in Australia, we're continuing with a bit of music, but this time with a twist. Remember when we used to visit independent record stores around the world to hear what had been flying off the shelves? Well, we've decided to do it again for the festive season. And first up, here's Katie McMurrin, who called in Mod Lang in the San Francisco Bay Area to hear about the albums decorating their Christmas display.
I'm surrounded by rows of records, actually stacks and stacks of records, inside Mod Lang. The store has played a part in the early careers of some very big bands, Radiohead just one of them. I'm joined by Mod Lang's owner, Naomi Diamond, and we're talking Christmas releases. Now, Naomi, I have a feeling Radiohead is not among this group, but indie rock is probably well represented.
Yes, no Radiohead releases for Christmas this year. What we were going to talk about is Niccolo's Quality Street, Erasure's Snow Globe, and Bad Religion's new Christmas music.
Well, let's get started with Nick Lowe, the English singer-songwriter behind the late 1970s hit Cruel to Be Kind. His Christmas album, as you mentioned, is titled Quality Street.
Quality Street is a kind of chocolate. It's just like having See's Candy or something being the name of your album. He's got 12 songs on here. He's done a couple of songs that are like well-known Christmas hits, as well as writing a few new ones and written a new one with Ry Cooder. It's all super, super mellow. So even though he's got a couple of things that sound like they're supposed to be rockabilly, they're lo-fi and mellow and smooth in a way that makes you remember things like the Richard Hawley records. Hooves on a Roof is the song written by Ron Sexsmith, who's a Canadian singer-songwriter. So that's kind of a good place to start.
Another Christmas Eve, I was needing some proof. And brother, that's when I heard the Hooves on the Roof. Switched on my light to see. I heard a rumbling in my chimney.
He was known for being pretty high energy early in his career.
Yeah, super mellow is what he's gone into now. And I think that he's trying to age gracefully. I guess he's made a conscious decision to be a mellow dude.
Laying presents round the tree. Then he turned and smiled right at me, babe.
That was Nick Lowe singing a song written by Canadian singer-songwriter Ron Sexsmith on Lowe's new album, Quality Street. Next up, the holiday release from synth-pop duo Erasure.
Yeah, Erasure, of all people, doing a Christmas record is pretty funny. I'm kind of wondering if they've done this as a reaction to the Pet Shop Boys doing their Christmas single last year, but who knows what they're thinking. It's got a picture of them on the front cover inside of a snow globe, which is also kind of a funny thing, glitter all around. Again, this is a combination of songs they've written themselves as well as some well-known Christmas tunes. More well-known if you're in England, I think, than here. They've done a cover of Gaudete, which was a big hit for Steel Eye Span back in the day.
And that is the single off of the album. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine. Gaudete, 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 Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine. Gaudete.
Erasure giving its electronic music treatment to the traditional Latin hymn Gaudete on their latest release, Snow Globe. It's time to set aside the synthesizer and turn the guitar amp up to about 11 for your last pick, Naomi, from a band you wouldn't necessarily expect to put out a Christmas album, the punk rock outfit Bad Religion.
Yeah, Bad Religion have put out a Christmas album that's just called Christmas Songs, and they start the album out with Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
This is an album, all traditional songs except for one remix of their own thing, American Jesus. But all of the songs are clocking in at either 2 minutes or right under 2 minutes. It's 9 songs in 19 minutes total as an album.
So for the short attention span, this is the right Christmas album for you?
This is the perfect Christmas album for me because it's rock. I don't have to worry about Christmas shopping. It's perfect.
Naomi, do you like Christmas music?
I am not a big fan of Christmas music. I like the Ronettes doing Christmas music. I like Motown Christmas music. And then the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York and the Pretenders' 2,000 Miles. I think that pretty much covers all of my Christmas listening.
Well, I wish you good luck during this holiday season.
Thank you so much.
That was Bad Religion singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Yes, you heard it right. As recommended by Naomi Diamond, owner of San Francisco Bay Area indie record store Mod Lang. And we'll be hearing for more record stores around the world throughout the show. You're tuned in to a Christmas special of Culture with me, Robert Bounds. More seasonal advertising next, but this time on the other side of the Atlantic.
The Czech Republic has a rich toy-making history which dedicated collectors and craftsmen are struggling to keep alive. From atelier to Christmas market, Monocle Films discovers an inspiring toy story where art meets craft.
I love to keep the craft going. So that's what I'm trying, to keep good quality, clever ideas, put them in a wood. Wood is wonderful material, and I'm fully respecting wood. You can see the raw wood, unpainted, natural wood, so you can enjoy the color and shapes and grains and have a joy from that.
A Bohemian Toy Story, premiering in the film section on monocle.com.
Welcome back to Culture on Monocle 24. As well as asking how you make a great Christmas ad, we also wanted to get a feel for the campaigns and trends catching people's attention in other corners of the globe. First up, producer Katie spoke to Brian Steinberg, senior TV editor at Variety, to hear about the campaigns catching his attention in the US this season.
I think this is all about retail for the most part. You have everyone from Macy's to JCPenney's to Kohl's. Anyone who's got a store full of goods they want to unload and fast is going to be advertising on TV pretty heavily for this season.
And we'll talk about some of those retailers in just a moment. But I wondered how Christmas advertising has kind of changed over the years, or has it changed at all? I mean, is nostalgia still a big factor that plays a part in Christmas advertising?
I do think nostalgia is a pretty big part. You want to evoke all these kind of old traditions, whether it be chestnuts or horses going through snow and that kind of thing. But I do think the last 5 or 6 years, there has been a big economic backdrop that is concerning. People are frightened of spending. And so I think the big Christmas marketers have to find some way of getting you to get over that hump. And that's been kind of the challenge last couple of years or so.
So how have we seen the adverts changing as a response to that then?
They really play up why you need to have this now. I think you might see a little bit less about, you know, Santa Claus and reindeer, and more about making somebody happy, making your kid happy. That kind of thing might get you to open your wallet a lot faster than talking about chestnuts and open fire, for example.
So going back to some of these retail brands who are competing in that market, one of the ones you wanted to point out was Kmart, and specifically their advert for Joe Boxer. This is obviously radio, so as an audio medium, I think if you listen to that advert, you'd think it's probably quite a sweet and innocent rendition of Jingle Bells, but it's not quite that, is it?
No, it's a little more risque, especially for a Christmas commercial. It's a bunch of guys wearing boxers who are making the bells ring by shaking their something or others beneath boxers. That's not your usual family-friendly type of stuff.
I should point out these boxers shorts are brightly coloured and individually decorated, and the men sporting them are, from the waist up, wearing a suit. From the waist down, wearing nothing but brightly coloured boxer shorts, which seem to have bells inside them.
Hey! exactly. It's not your typical kids and presents unwrapping kind of thing. It's a little more adult, but I guess you aren't going to buy boxers for your 4-year old. So it makes some sense. And I guess if they play the ad, you know, and shows that are a little more adult skewing, maybe on cable, they would probably hit their target audience.
And so how have people reacted to this? I mean, is there any indication yet of what kind of impact this has had?
You know, I haven't seen an outcry on this one, although I'm sure there are people who have seen it and wish their kids would not have witnessed it. You know, if TV is getting more risque anyway. There are only a few really family-friendly events like The Voice or American Idol out there, and some of these dramas are a little more violent and scary. So if you put the ad on, you know, 10 o'clock at night on some scarier stuff, you might escape some of that kid problem.
On the other end of the spectrum, there's the advert for Coles, which kind of harks back to this idea you were saying earlier about tapping into that idea of doing something nice for someone or doing a good deed at Christmas. This is a young couple who ostensibly look like a beautiful, happy couple decorating their flat for Christmas. And then at the end of the advert, you realise that they're actually decorating the flat of the old lady who lives opposite them.
May you build a ladder to the stars. Come on every run, may you stay forever young.
Tell me a bit about your reaction to that advert.
Well, I thought it was really, it really kind of got you where it counts. It really kind of says to you, look, listen, this isn't about you. It's not about your problems. It's not about how much you spend. It's about doing something nice for somebody else. And if you keep that in mind, it does kind of make you, oh, well, maybe I should pass it along. Maybe I should do a good deed. It does kind of inspire you to be more in the Christmas spirit, the original Christmas spirit, before all the commercialism kind of got involved. It's kind of like Christmas brought to you by Coles without the heavy commercialism message, which is kind of nice.
And I know you were slightly confused by the slightly floaty young female cover version of Bob Dylan's Forever Young. This is a trend we've seen for a while, isn't it, of sentimental covers of various songs being used in adverts.
Well, I always find Bob Dylan, who was the original kind of like anti-commercial artist, now being co-opted for use in advertisements. It's always just kind of amusing. But yeah, it's a nice song. What it has to do about an old lady getting Christmas presents, I'm not quite sure. But it is a nice, optimistic, forward-looking kind of tune, and it's kind of acoustic and stripped down and kind of honest and heartwarming. It plays in very well with the action of the commercial.
And finally, obviously, the retail market's a hugely competitive one at Christmas, but the gadget market is arguably equally as important. It's not uncommon to be bought some kind of gadget by relatives at Christmas. I'm interested in the way that Amazon is going about advertising the Kindle Fire, because they are directly comparing it to an iPad, aren't they, in the advert?
Well, they really are. It's all about, you know, how your kid can read and how they have parental controls on it. It's kind of like an iPad with a focus. The iPad can be anything to anybody, however you want to use it. But the Kindle, they're really kind of this season marketing it as a tool for, you know, helping your kids read, limiting video time. It's kind of a good for you iPad. All the benefits of an iPad without all the junk, you can at least kind of keep your kid from getting too absorbed in the latest video game.
This is the iPad with Retina display. And this is the new Kindle Fire HD with an 8.9-inch display. Stunning HD. Stunning HD.
Amazon's interested in selling more apps and books and video games and music from their store, and the Kindle can obviously take all that kind of stuff. I thought it was a very smart kind of lens on what the gadget can do. It's not just a be-all for everybody. It's a specific one that, you know, they're kind of making it a little more family-friendly in this regard.
But they are directly comparing it to an iPad in one of the adverts they've released, haven't they? And I wonder how effective this kind of anti-campaigning is and whether it is the right kind of avenue to go down.
Well, Apple has been taking on the chin the last couple of months from all kinds of competitors, whether it be Samsung or Moto X. You know, everything from Siri gets made fun of to, you know, the limitations of the device. Apple's kind of the market leader in a lot of sense. It's like the Coca-Cola and everyone else is Pepsi trying to take them down. So I do think Apple is kind of getting a couple of body blows from other rival marketers. But yeah, this gadget stuff, really, this is hot competition. These guys are all trying to sell millions and millions of gadgets to make their bottom lines and their investor expectations for the quarter. So I do think you're seeing all kinds of, you know, whether it be a mobile phone or the latest portable screen, this stuff is really big business, and you're seeing a pretty competitive fight on TV for Christmas.
That was Brian Steinberg, senior TV editor at Variety, speaking to producer Katie there. And this is a Christmas special of Culture with me, Robert Bounds, right here on Monocle 24. Still to come in part two, we'll cross to Australia and Spain to discuss this year's advertising trends. We'll hear from record shops in Berlin and Tokyo to get some of their Christmas recommendations. And we'll get all cosy with a track from Kim Wilde's Christmas LP. Chocolate Orange, anyone? So first, we're going to take a brief break from our seasonal advertising analysis to pop into another record store around the world to hear what's on their display this Christmas. Next stop is Berlin, where Kimberly Bradley went to meet Sven Stout from Lila M in Berlin's Mitte.
I would recommend a record from a guy called William Onyebuhr. It's a reissue and it just came out, and it's I love it. Vibes, and it's a mixture of Afrobeat, funk, soul, and it came out in the middle of the 70s.
Any second choice or anything that people happen to be buying a lot at the moment? What's a bestseller?
Well, right now it's also our bestseller because I recommend it very, very often to people. Yeah, right now I think, I don't know, there's not so many good new stuff out in the last month, so we also saw very good Metal Dance Volume 2, which is a compilation about industrial and early electro body music from the 80s, compiled by Trevor Jackson. Section, so I mean releases which were produced in the last year. Dark Side is well recommended. It's a new project by Nicolas Jarre. The house music side, there is a record called Sleep by Mettler on the label Wolf Music, and that's also very cool.
Lots of vinyl here. Who are your customers and what are they looking for?
Our customers, there are two types. There are the regular ones and the I don't know how you say it, the, from the street, which are mostly tourists in this area. And they usually ask mostly for vinyls. Nowadays, it changed during the last years, but some are also still asking for CDs. Most of our customers are listeners and collectors.
Can you tell me about this Christmas display you have near the window? You've got 5 vinyl albums that look very interesting. Could you describe them?
The first one is, well, it's funk soul with Christmas songs. The second one is, I think that's the funniest one. It's called Christmas 1979 and must be some British punk rock. I haven't heard it, but I thought it might be funny, fun to have it in the store.
Christmas 1979, everything was looking fine. Saint just said she'd still be mine. By the end of the year, I was crying. Christmas 1979.
The third one is called the National Jazz Trio of Scotland Christmas album, and actually it's brought out by a Berlin label. The guy behind that project is Bill Wells. Some British people might know him.
Came in.
third one is by a band called Bright Eyes. They are quite famous, I think. And the last one is by a guy everybody should know, Elvis Presley, Songs for Christmas.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
All I can think of is song Blue Christmas blaring out of an AM radio driving across the United States. Are people buying these?
Well, I don't know.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
That was Sven Stout from Lila M in Berlin Mitte talking to Kim Bradley, and you're tuned into Culture with me, Robert Bounds. For most people, Christmas means sleigh bells, open fires and white snow, as opposed to yellow. That is, unless you're in Australia, where the holiday season hits at the height of summer. This means advertisers have some fairly particular challenges in creating coherent Christmas campaigns that balance traditional Christmas cheer with the steamy reality of an Australian December. To explore this, Monocle's Melbourne correspondent Adrian Craddock met with Russell Howcroft, the executive general manager of Channel 10, who before becoming involved in commercial TV, had a long career in advertising. He started off by explaining how the tone of Aussie Christmas commercials differ from those from other nations.
This Christmas, imagine feeding your family delicious, succulent, Coles Finest Hunter Valley free-range turkey.
Australia's a retail advertising marketplace, more than a brand-driven marketplace. We like flogging stuff and flogging it hard.
Now, that's what I call a delicious Christmas.
So is it the same situation where the Christmas advertising of a big brand like Meijer is seen as its real marquee moment to put its brand across, just like John Lewis or such?
It is. It's extremely important. But interestingly, what you'll see is they'll run advertising to try and drive pre-Christmas sales, but actually they go a little more crazy straight after Christmas because that's where they get their massive sales.
This Christmas, wish upon a star. Find your Christmas wish.
One of the big things, of course, is the size of the market is different. So a John Lewis would probably, they would spend, let's say, £500,000, £1 million making a Christmas commercial, whereas the retailers in Australia would be very unlikely to spend that sort of money.
From a creative point of view, do advertisers and agencies in Australia have more of a challenge at Christmas time in the sense that they can't draw on all that kind of stereotypical Christmas imagery as much because it just doesn't reflect the Australian experience? You know, we don't have the snow and the open fires. So does that mean that often at this time of year they have to work a bit harder than, say, other creatives in other countries?
No, I don't think so. I think that sort of, you know, the Christmas imagery, sure, you might be at a barbecue in Australia and it might be 35 degrees, 35 Celsius, but I actually don't think that makes any difference. I think that the winter imagery is still, it's still attractive and it's still part of how you sell. It's, you know, I suppose you just suspend, you know, disbelief in all sorts of ways on Christmas Day. Even if you look at the Christmas decorations of London or New York, the Fifth Avenue decorations are just insane. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Regent Street and Oxford Street and all the major shopping centres of London. The lights are brilliant. Of course, it's dark at 3 p.m, so therefore you've got, you know, a whole wonderful light show, which obviously drags people to the stores. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in Australia, in the Christmas period, it's not dark until sort of 8:30. So the lights play less of a role than they do in the Northern Hemisphere.
I guess the reason that I'm asking quite a bit about the UK is if you look at some of the big brands' Christmas campaigns for this year, mm-hmm. they focus quite a lot on English chefs, particularly the two big supermarkets, yeah. Coles and Woolworths.
Yeah, Coles guys are using Blumenthal. The reason why he's famous is because of a show here called MasterChef's in the UK as well. And MasterChef has made sort of some chefs celebrities. That's been the vehicle that's done it. So the big retailers, Coles and Woolworths, have grabbed a hold of those guys.
I'm Heston Blumenthal, and this is my delicious shortcrust fruit mince pie with tangerine sugar dusting.
One of the more interesting parts of the Jamie Oliver campaign, at least, was I saw there's a video of him doing a big Australian-style Christmas barbecue in the centre of London.
Yes.
What did you make of that? I mean, what
I thought it was good fun. They probably did it in London for practical reasons, because Jamie Oliver couldn't get on a plane and come to Australia. That's probably what's going on.
G'day, guys. Woolies always brings Christmas together for you lucky people at home, so I'm doing the same over here. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! Here we go again!
So, as I mentioned before, the other big brands that people look at quite keenly to see what they do for their Christmas campaigns are the two big department stores, Myer and David Jones. What have you made of those two campaigns this year?
Standard, yeah. They're not particularly exciting, although we are, of course, Myer is using another Englishman, Jamiroquai's soundtrack. You know, give me something, whatever, however it goes. You give me something. Jennifer Hawkins, of course, you know, she's a key sort of ambassador for Myer. A bit of Jennifer Hawkins and Jamiroquai giving. It's all, it's fine, you know. It isn't in that sort of amazing, wonderfully creative category that sometimes can occur, but I'm sure that that will work for them.
Is part of that also, so much money is poured into these ads at this time of year that it's quite a bad time to take a risk, maybe, for the bigger brands? They see it as, you know, there's a lot of resources at stake. They pretty much just have to play it safe.
I don't know that they would deliberately play it safe, you know, because creativity works, you know, and the more interesting, the more creative, the more engaging, the more likely it is to actually work for them. It may well be that they think that all they really need to do is just compete in terms of share of voice, spend the money, make sure that they're in front of people's faces. But when it comes to sort of, you know, top of mind awareness, Myer doesn't have a problem, nor does David Jones, you know. So they are simply just reminding the marketplace, this is a place that you can go in order to, you know, do your Christmas shopping. A little extra creativity may go, mightn't be a bad thing.
That's what I call a delicious Christmas.
That was Russell Howcroft, the Executive General Manager at Channel 10, speaking to Adrian Craddock there. You're tuned in to a seasonal special of Culture with me, Robert Bounds, on Monocle 24. We'll take a sideways look at the Spanish Christmas Lottery's 250th birthday ad after this.
The Weekend Edition is the perfect way to wind down from your working week and prepare for the days ahead. Every Saturday and Sunday, we bring you a mix of new music, global front pages, insightful interviews and lively guests.
He just gets better and better. He's really terribly good. And so it's absolutely aggravating and brilliant, of course.
There's also the usual eclectic mix of Monocle 24 programming, a look back at a few broadcasting highlights and a preview of some of the shows to come.
This is a film that took 3 years to make. We traveled to 10 countries. There's over 20 different stories in the film about people interacting in one way or another. The scope of it is pretty massive.
That's The Weekend Edition with me, Georgina Godwin. All day Saturday from 8 a.m. and on Sundays from 1600 hours London time, right here on Monocle 24.
Welcome back to this festive-themed culture show with me, Robert Bound, where we head now to Spain, because a television ad campaign to promote the 250-year-old Christmas lottery has been making waves for all the wrong reasons. According to our Madrid correspondent, Liam Aldous, this controversy might be a blessing in disguise, delivering an early Christmas gift to those behind the ad. Let's take a listen.
It's that time of year again, when 3 days before Christmas, Spaniards across the country, from the most distant Canary Island to the furthest peak of the Pyrenees, gather around their television sets hoping to hear some very high-pitched children's voices call out their magical numbers.
58,268. 4 millones. Ahí va el gordo. 58,268.
Ole, ole, ole.
4 millones.
It's the rather sacrilegious Lotería de Navidad, or El Gordo, the Fat One, otherwise known as Spain's Christmas Lottery. It's the draw that stops a nation, and this year, what is the world's oldest lottery, will celebrate its landmark 250th anniversary. Once again, around 2 billion euros will be awarded to the few hundred people holding the golden tickets. But well before the lucky few have begun jumping up and down with joy, and the news crews begin their frenzied race around the country to capture the jubilation, the Christmas lottery has already been grabbing the headlines. The marketing campaign for El Gordo has always been a bit of a showstopper, and the release of this year's TV spot has been no exception. This time, the musical-themed ad has been making news for all the wrong reasons. Filmed in a candle-strewn village square, award-winning director Pablo Berger cast five of Spain's most infamous divas and pop icons to belt out a Christmas tune.
Una luz te ilumina, mil campanas suenan ya.
Resorting to every cliché in the book, the windblown hair, the tear in the spectator's eye, the heartfelt embrace, it's left many people scratching their heads, wondering whether the cheesy, sometimes frightening, often eyebrow-raising TV spot was deliberately choreographed to court controversy. Much of the ridicule has been aimed at Montserrat Caballé, the 80-year-old Spanish soprano whose stilted, eye-popping performance, alongside an equally creepy appearance by the singer Raphael, seemed to have been lifted directly from a 1970s horror film. The subsequent avalanche of internet parodies, already numbering in the thousands, have no doubt caused a light in the office of advertising agency Tactics Europe. They've seen their ad, or at least endless butchered versions of it, reach millions of viewers and manage to alter the national conversation as a result. Given the repercussion it's had in just a few short weeks, perhaps the spot will set a new precedent for the iconic Christmas lottery campaign, making excruciatingly bad the new good, even when dealing with the romanticised idea of Christmas. Although, when your product is a blatantly sacrilegious Christmas lottery, perhaps all bets were off to begin with. For Monocle, in Madrid, I'm Lee Moldes.
22 de diciembre, sorteo de Navidad.
That was Liam Aldous reporting for this Culture Christmas special here on Monocle 24. The El Gordo advert can be seen on YouTube if you want to see some of those interesting expressions and faces and renditions for yourself. Right, we're almost out of time on this festive show. We can just squeeze in a visit to another indie record store around the globe. Kenji Hall popped down to Beams Records in Tokyo to hear what they're recommending for Christmas listening.
名前は青野健一です。I'm Kenichi Aono. I'm a creative director at Beams, and I also head the Beams Records music shop in Tokyo's Harajuku district. In Japan, winter tends to be cold and windy, but on a clear day, the sky is beautiful and the air feels fresh. I had these clear winter days in my mind when I chose these three albums here. I thought about the clarity of the voices of these folk musicians and the singer-songwriters, which is perfect for winter, and I intentionally stayed away from party music. During the cold months, how you spend your time at home is important, and this is the kind of music that you might listen to while hanging out at home, relaxing, which is what you tend to do in winter when nights are long. You might play one of these albums while eating a home-cooked meal, for instance.
Oh, my friends, I've begun to worry right where I should be grateful, I should be satisfied. Oh, my heart, I would clap and dance in place with my friends I have so much pleasure to embrace. But my heart is returned to Sister Winter.
First, we have Tracy Thorn of Everything But The Girl fame. This album, Tinsel and Lights, is her latest, released in 2012, and one she made with the holiday season in mind. Most of the songs are covers. The folk, acoustic sound mixed with electronica is just right for this time of year. Amongst the tracks are some Christmas songs, along with a few that evoke winter, like snow, snow in the sun, and Sister Winter. But it's not just for the holiday season. This is one that you could enjoy throughout the year. The album cover is cute too.
So next up, we have Nick Drake. This is a fairly old album. From what year?
1970. It was remastered in 2000. This is Nick Drake's second album, Brighter Later. Everything he does is great, and this is an album that you want to listen to from start to finish. It's got a good groove, and it's a fun album.
You're lifting your feet from the ground, weigh up your anchor and never look round. Oh. まあ、ニック・ドレイクはイギリスのシンガーソングライターですけど、
Nick Drake is a British singer-songwriter who's influenced a lot of musicians over the years, not just folk musicians, but also rock and jazz and electronica groups. Musicians are fans of his work. Brighter Later is an old album, so even if a record store stocked it, you'd probably have a hard time finding it. But we are a small shop with a limited selection of about 150 titles, so it's easy to find things. For our sound system, we use Klipsch speakers that have a flat, clear, warm tone, and we sell the speakers as well.
I could have been a sailor, could have been a cook. A real life lover, could have been a book. I could have been a signpost, could have been a clock. As simple as a kettle, steady as a rock.
こちらは、遠山武雄さんという、ピアニスト。
This next album is from Takeo Toyama, a singer and pianist. It's called Tobanaihi. There's a hint of classical music, and in the background there's jazz and blues. This is a great album, and his live performances are great. He's originally from Osaka, and I've known him personally for years. He's appeared on the Beams music label. This is from 2013. There's an originality to his music. He mainly sings and plays the piano. The clarity, the transparency of his voice is something that you don't often find in a male singer. Nick Drake is similar in that way. This is one that you'll want to kick back and enjoy during the holidays. There's a softness to his delivery, his tone, and he plays the piano in a way that's not too academic.
That was Kenichi Aono of Beams Records in Tokyo speaking to Kenji Hall. And that's just about all we have time for this week. Next week, we'll be reminiscing about all the best bits from culture over the past 12 months. It's a corker. After that, we kick off 2014 with a special round table show looking ahead at what's going to be hot and big next year. You've been listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Katie Bilboa, and Holly Fisher provided the tinsel. As always, time for one final song this week, this year in fact, from her Christmas album, The Wild Winter Songbook. This is Kim Wilde duetting with Rick Astley, no less, with Winter Wonderland. Thanks for tuning in. Merry Christmas, festive season and holidays, and we'll see you in the new year.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away.